Parents to the Generations radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack, director from Worldview Academy, in studio with me today. And we're going to be discussing world trends on this edition of the program. And of course, we can apply the Word of God to every area of life. And there should be no question as to how God's wisdom applies to things like world economy. I know that world economy can be confusing, especially when you put it in the hands of John Maynard Keynes and others, in which confusion reigns, and hardly anybody can understand what most of these economists say. But if you read the book of Proverbs, you're going to find that God's wisdom is much easier to understand than man's wisdom. And I would encourage you to teach your children the book of Proverbs. We provide Proverbs Bible study guides for families all across this country and around the world. We're translating our Bible study guides into Spanish as well, such that God's wisdom would be available to hundreds of thousands of families around the world, especially as the world is careening towards socioeconomic disaster. There's no question in my mind about this, Bill, because as the world violates God's laws, especially as it applies to social systems and economies, they are most certainly going to destroy themselves. And the problem is spiraling out of control year by year. And I think as Christians, we need to be equipped. We need to equip our children and prepare them for when this happens. And that means be sure to root and ground your children in the wisdom of God's word. Give them the book of Proverbs and provide for them the family Bible study guides on the book of Proverbs available on our website. And Bill, as we consider world economy, we talked about how world debt has increased exponentially just over the last 15 years. Ultimately, it's world greed that's the problem. And as I've studied the history of the American economy and the financial panic of 1819 and gone through the Great Depression of 1929 and so forth, the conclusion I come to, Bill, is that the source of all of the problems relating to economic downturns and financial disasters especially relate to this problem of human greed, that the banks begin to pull in the loans when the rich people have jumped in and they have used loans to try to get rich quick, and they've done that for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years. And sometimes they run into the stock market. They want to buy on margin or buy on debt, and they are betting on the economy or the stock market going up and going up and going up, and they're less and less interested in the earnings and more interested on what they're going to get if they sell on that price. The price becomes the fixated thing, and the earnings, that is the company, what the company's doing, what the company's producing, the profit the company is making is of less and less concern to those investors. And again, this is human greed. As their focal point becomes the earnings, I'm sorry, the price, less and less the earnings, then, of course, those stock markets are going to crash. Those banks are going to have issues. And so it's world greed that seems to be on the upswing right now. In fact, the P&E, the price-to-earnings ratio for the S&P, is up to 26.7. I think that's important. The Dow is up 1,000 points just over the last 7 or 8 days. And believe it or not, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up to 26,000 from 6,000 just since 2009. Wow. In other words, this thing has increased 333% in just the last 8 years. That's some 41% increase per year. And again, people are far more interested, investors are far more interested in price than they are in earnings, my friends. The price to earnings ratio is now at 26.7. Right before the 2008 crash, you know what it was at? 27.9.
Wow.
Right before the dot-com crash, it was right where it is right now, 26.8. Right before the Black Monday crash of 1987, it was at 20.0. Generally, a price-to-earnings ratio between 8 and 20 is somewhat safe. You get above 20, and you're heading towards massive recession, possibly a depression coming to a city somewhere near you or a nation somewhere near you. The Chinese stock market is similar to the American stock market. These markets tend to follow each other because I think they're tied into some of the same banks. So, my friends, world greed on the increase, as indicated by the price-to-earnings ratio. At the point at which people are throwing caution to the wind and they care less about the earnings and are going for the price, you know that they're in it for a get-rich-quick scheme. And as greedy investors are building their stores and building their buildings and going into massive debt and increasing their holdings of stocks with very little in terms of earnings, friends, these people are less interested in dominion and production as they are in getting rich quick. And that, my friends, is where the world is right now. 8 years or 9 years since the last major recession, the worldwide recession of 2008, we are in the same boat we were at that time. We may be even worse case, of course, because the debt to GDP ratios for most of these nations are twice what they were in 2007. The debt to GDP ratio is almost 200% higher than they were in 2007 before the Great Recession of 2008. All right, my friends. Well, you've gotten a little bit of the heads up on the world economy. Where is the world economy today? Well, the world economy is, of course, well into debt, and the world greed ratio, that is the price to earnings ratio of the biggest economies in the world, are sky high, which means that the world greed ratio has reached a point at which recession, massive recession, or massive worldwide depression is right around the corner. Be back with more next on the Generations Broadcast as we look at world trends. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. We are back on the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Bill Jack also in studio with me as we consider world trends. In 2018, it's good from time to time to be men of Issachar, such that we understand the times as it's affecting the entire world. And so today, the effect of migration on the world. Bill, of everything that's going on in the world right now, I think it's important that Christians understand that this world is more destabilized than it has been in all of recent history, to the extent that there is a massive migration going on around the world. This is the most massive migration of the modern age, more so than World War II, and more migration than anything experienced since, I guess, the Tower of Babel. But numbers-wise as well, Bill, I'm guessing this is even greater than what was experienced during the Tower of Babel. Migrants now reaching 220 million. I'm not sure what the definition is. It could be those who have migrated in the last 3 years or 4 years. But migrants now at 220 million in the year 2017, that's up from 80 million in the 1980s.
Wow.
So the number of migrants in the 1980s tended to be somewhere between 70 and 90 million. Now, my friends, migration up to 220 million. That's almost the population of the United States. That's huge. And of course, much of it's coming from Syria and Iraq and the Middle East. The Middle East has been turned upside down over the last 10 to 15 years. And friends, this destabilization is tough. It's difficult. This is a challenge. Now, there are a number of reasons for migration. One is war. The second is money. People are doing this more and more for money. And Bill, I think the international economic conditions have made it easier for people to travel and get jobs elsewhere. The borders are a little bit more open than they used to be, and people can cross these borders much easier than they used to. So the ability to gain transportation and to cross borders has improved quite a bit in the last 20 to 30 years.
Do you think that the UN policies have encouraged this, more open borders and more transfer of people from one country to another?
I'm guessing so, Bill. I think it's the breakdown of nationalism and the incorporation of the United Nations, the European Union, and so forth. The centralization elements have enabled this transfer of migrants across borders. Now, this typically yields a destabilized social condition. And I think people need to understand that. The criminal element tends to grow in the areas in which the migrations occur. And people will leave their marriages. Oftentimes, they'll leave their children. This happens all the time in places like the Philippines and Indonesia and elsewhere, where people go across borders to gain employment somewhere. You find lots and lots of Filipinos moving into California and elsewhere in order to gain a better economic situation for themselves, but they leave their families, and this produces something of a social instability. So this does not contribute to social stability. Rather, what we see is the destruction of the family economy and the destruction of the family around the world. Now, the positive here is that the church can reach people in many of these cities, and we've talked about this many times on the program, that this provides something of a opportunity for the gospel of Jesus Christ to reach every tribe and nation around the world, because every tribe and nation is dispersed and going through this diaspora in which they begin to gain more access to the evangelists that are preaching God's word in places like London, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as Denver and elsewhere. So friends, again, there's a positive here, and the covenant body of the church can be identified just about anywhere. So let's say that you were a Christian that was exiled from your home in Syria, and you wound up in England, or you wound up in Chicago or Denver. Certainly, you should be able to reach out to a Bible-believing, Jesus-loving, Jesus-people-loving church that is able to cross boundaries and bring you into the church community, whether you are of the same color, race, background, etc., or not. And I think that is a positive element here. Bill, Jesus is bringing about his objectives in history, and one of his objectives is to reach every tribe and nation. And if missionaries are unable or refuse to move into areas like Syria or Iraq or various areas of Africa to bring the word of God, then perhaps these people can be reached in places like New York City or Chicago. So again, friends, there's an upside for the church, a downside for countries. Oftentimes nations are destabilized when this happens, but let's keep an eye on more than just the nations. Let's keep an eye on what's going on with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there are opportunities for evangelism and discipleship, and if every tribe and nation are being brought into the Church of Jesus Christ and the fellowship of our Lord Jesus, this is a positive. That is, Jesus is working all things out for good for those who love him, for those who are the called according to his purpose. So let's keep this in mind as we consider the development of world trends. And the one absolute certainty in all of this, Bill, is that Jesus is reigning until all of his enemies are on his footstool. I think this is the most important historical reality, the plainest historical reality of them all. You can read history from so many different perspectives. You can take a Marxist view. You can take a Hegelian view of history. You can look at history from all sorts of different philosophical perspectives. But the most important perspective through which we need to consider what's happening in our world around us is the perspective that Peter gives us in Acts chapter 2. So let me just read these verses for you here from Acts 2:33. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God. Again, Peter is speaking of Jesus, who is just raised from the dead 40 days earlier, and of course ascended into the heavens. And he explains what's going on here in Acts 2:33. The apostle Peter says, he's been exalted to the right hand of the Father. It's already happened. Jesus is on the right hand of God. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand
till I make your enemies your footstool. So again, very clearly, Jesus Christ, this is the historical reality of all of history since AD 33, and that is that Jesus is ascended to the right hand of the Father. He sits on the right hand of the Father, and he is there till he has made his enemies his footstool. This, my friends, is what is going on in history. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. That is, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. He's on the right hand of the Father, and he's bringing his enemies under his footstool. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote Taking the World for Jesus, a 400-page, four-color presentation of the great work that Jesus has done through the centuries in bringing every tribe and nation to the knowledge of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the vast, amazing transformations he's brought to countries around the world. Friends, these are the stories to tell. Let's be sure that we're studying what Jesus is doing in history. It's far more important than anything Napoleon or Karl Marx or Joseph Lenin or anybody else ever did. My friends, be sure that your children understand what Jesus has done throughout history. And that's why I wrote the book, Taking the World for Jesus. Think about Sati. Sati no longer exists in India today. Bill, one of the comments that was made by a British captain who was in charge of enforcing some of the British law that was brought to India in the 19th century, somebody said, well, Sati is a very important tradition of India where we burn the widows on the pyre of their dead husbands. And he said, well, I understand that we must respect your traditions, but you need to respect ours too. One of the important traditions of British Christian government is that we execute people who burn their widows on the funeral pyre of their husbands. Yeah. So, you know, that's an important tradition that the Indians had to come to respect as well. So some of these enemies, some of these horrible things that were so common throughout history, these enemies of Christ have been brought down. I think of Sati, I think of infanticide, of human sacrifice. Think about all the human sacrifices that were occurring in South America or even here in the United States. The last human sacrifice here in the United States occurred in Nebraska. And I have this in the book, Taking the World for Jesus. If you want to understand how all that came to an end, actually, William Clark and Meriwether Lewis were involved in discussions with Indian tribes that were engaged in human sacrifice. Very interesting discussions they had. And eventually that was what brought an end to the human sacrifice amongst the Plain Indians in the United States as well. So my friends, these are the enemies that are brought under the footstool of Jesus. And now some people say, well, now, yeah, okay, I understand that. I understand that Jesus has brought his enemies under his footstool throughout the era of the pagan tribes. But what about what's happened the last 400 to 500 years in the Western world? What about that? Well, what about the power-hungry Roman Catholics involved in inquisitions in the 1600s or 1500s? Whatever happened to them? And Bill, they're gone. The Roman Catholics have stopped their inquisitions. Praise God.
Yes.
That is an enemy that was brought under the footstool of Jesus. The power centralized in Rome, that control over the political state, that the Roman see had sought after with so much fervor over hundreds of years, that control over the state that brought about the statism and the statist inquisitions that was produced so much bloodshed during the 1400s and 1500s. Hello, that's gone. That's come under the footstool of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what about Nazis? Whatever happened to the Nazis? Whatever happened to that enemy of the Lord Jesus, Bill?
Well, depending on who you talk to, because those on the left claim that we are Nazis because we hold to absolutes, and therefore they equate that with Nazism.
I'm talking about the true definition of National Socialists.
Yeah.
National Socialists who want complete and utter control over all the implements of an industry, and, yeah, and those that want control over.
Oh, you're talking about you're talking about the federal government?
Well, yeah.
Oh.
Thinking more in terms of the German federal government of the 1930s, 1940s, and the destruction of so many innocent lives.
And God raises up nations to judge other nations.
That's right. Yeah. Don't ignore what the Nazis did to 6 million Jews, Bill.
To 55 million people. 55 million people died.
That's right.
As a result of World War II.
That's right.
As a result of a worldview, one man's worldview that was brought to bear in a culture.
So what happened to him? He committed suicide, my friends, and the Third Reich is gone. Why? Because it was an enemy. It was an enemy to the Lord Jesus. Bill, what happened to the communist bloc? What happened to the communists? What happened to Lenin and Stalin? Bill, and all the hundreds of millions of people they slaughtered. Gone. 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 And friends, today, Bill, do you know the best countries? That is where the Christian faith is coming back in Europe, where countries are considering pro-life legislation against the communist view of abortion that brought about the highest abortion rate in the world in Russia itself. But now ask yourself, what are the nations in Europe that are moving against things like homosexual marriage and the violation of God's laws related to the killing of the innocent in their mother's wombs?
Would it be those traditionally Christian nations like England?
No.
And France?
No. It turns out it's the Eastern Bloc nations that at one time were under the control of the communists. I'm talking about Poland and Hungary. These are some of the nations in which there are some of the most positive things going on in terms of coming back to Christian principles. It's not happening in the Western countries in Europe. It's happening in the Eastern Bloc. And the Eastern Bloc were the nations that were the most opposed to Christ and persecuting Christians in those communist jails in the 1950s and 1960s. These enemies are being brought under the footstool of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say, praise God.
Yes, praise
God. Somebody say, praise be to Jesus on the right hand of the Father. Yes, he rules. And yes, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, Jesus is bringing his kingdom and it's continuing to rule. And it's interesting as he smashes these enemies one by one. Now, people say, yeah, but what about abortion in the United States? What about the modern apostasy that seems to be taking over, you know, in 6% of the landmass of the world in Europe and America? Friends, he's bringing his enemies under his footstool. He does it one at a time. And we read history this way. Well, the fastest growing economies in the world also today happen to be the economies in which the Christian faith, the Christian church, is growing faster than ever. It's very interesting if you do the correlation. I just did that before I came on the air for this particular program, friends. The fastest growing economies in the world, places like Ethiopia, Qatar, China, Rwanda, Ghana, Bhutan, Mongolia, Cambodia, the Congo, Zambia, Uganda. These are the countries in which the gospel is penetrating. These are the countries in which there are more Christian churches today than there were 20 years ago. And guess what? They also happen to be the countries that are developing economically head and shoulders beyond any other country around the world. Is that amazing?
That is.
Well, it seems that where Jesus is bringing his church, he's also developing the economies, my friends. And wherever there's the discipleship of the nations and the application of the principles of the book of Proverbs, you can count on the fact that there will be a blessing to those economies. This, my friends, is going on. Well, here's the third thing. World trend-wise, here's what's going on around the world today. The center of faith has moved from Europe and America out into the eastern part of the world. It is amazing how the center of faith has moved. Now, it moved from Europe to America in the 19th century as America became the faith source in which missionaries were sent out around the world. And America was the number one mission sending agency around the world. And some claim it still is, but I take issue with that. Because if you include indigenous missions in places like India and China and Africa, you're going to find that there is a stronger faith core in the Eastern world than there is in the United States. The faith center has moved out of Colorado Springs. The faith center has moved away from the Christian ministries you'll find in the United States, the Christian churches, and the breakdown of the evangelical church in America. The faith center, I'm talking about where there's the courage and the faith to lead on and bring down places that have been dominated by Satan for centuries, for millennia. I'm talking about Christian churches being established in places like Liberia. We were watching an excellent dispatch from the front last Sunday in which We saw some indigenous brothers from Africa climbing a mountain where this village had been completely dominated by Satan and witchcraft for millennia. And they had prayed a year and finally went up to the village. And within 1 year after their ministry there, fully half of the village has been converted, and they've built churches.
Wow.
On this town that was once dominated by satanic influences and witchcraft for centuries upon centuries. Friends, this is what's going on around the world. The Faith Center has moved. The center of missions has moved. It's no longer America. America is not the center of faith. It has become the center of wavering faith, institutionalized apostasy, and a lack of Christian courage. The United States now receives more missionaries than any other country around the world. Do you know that?
No.
Yeah, now receives more missionaries.
Well, I knew that African countries were sending missionaries to us.
That's right. The United States now receives more missionaries than any other country around the world. And if you include indigenous missions now sends out about 100,000 missionaries throughout India, China, elsewhere, Africa. And Korea sends out some 27,000 missionaries as well. And this, my friends, has pretty much exceeded what America is doing in its worldwide missions outreach. Yes, for the first time in at least 200 years, America is no longer the center of faith or the core mission-sending country around the world today. It is centering in India, China, and the Far East. The people who know their God and are doing courageous exploits around the world are found in Africa, India, and China today.
Countries that have persecuted Christianity.
And that's my fourth point.
Yeah.
My fourth point and last point, as we consider world trends in the year 2018, is that persecution has picked up in places like China, Pakistan, India, Nigeria, Burma, Iran, and Iraq. And guess why? Because these also are the nations in which there are tremendous works of faith going on by men and women who are willing to die for their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the dragon will flick its tail one more time as Christians are discipling the nations. He's not happy about that. And of course, persecution follows. Of course, persecution follows. The devil is not happy with what is going on as true faith manifests itself in the discipleship of nations as men and women take amazing, courageous risks to bring the gospel into some of the darkest areas of this world in which Satan has dominated for centuries upon centuries. By the way, in early November, German Chancellor Angela Merkel declared that Christianity is, quote, this is her words, the most persecuted religion in the world.
Wow.
That was the German Chancellor. That was her words just last November. She says Christianity is now the most persecuted religion in the world. Christianity is facing elimination in its biblical homeland. Between a half and two-thirds of Christians in the Middle East have departed or been killed over the past century. And persecution has picked up in China, Pakistan, India, Nigeria, Burma, Iran, and Iraq. It's interesting. We just celebrated the National Religious Freedom Day this last week. And former Congressman Frank Wolf spoke about this on the Washington Watch radio program. Congressman Wolf actually complained that we are losing ground on this issue in this nation. And he said the problem is not so much the state. The problem is not so much the government, the Trump administration. He says the problem in America is that pastors, churches in America are not standing against this. They're not standing in faith. He says the problem is the faith of Americans. So that's the real issue. When asked if he thinks there is a change in the horizon, given the fact that the Trump administration has vowed to protect religious freedom, Congressman Wolf declared that he's not encouraged because of the fact that religious freedom no longer seems to be an important issue for millennials and the church. He says, I go onto college campuses, Christian college campuses. He says, I go onto Christian college campuses. And that's where he sees the dissolution of faith. He says, doesn't see it. He says, these kids are really not interested in the issue of international persecution against the church. And that's because they're on the wrong side for the most part. That's why. Bill, if you're on the right side, this becomes an issue. You'll have the heart of Christ. You'll have the heart of Jesus who opens the seals and comes unglued against the persecution to his saints in the book of Revelation. Now, persecution will be an issue if you're on the right side. But if you're on the side of the persecutors, then, of course, you'll be quite passive in receiving this persecution as an okay thing.
And we see the lackadaisical attitude of Christians in this country, and we wonder, well, will we have liberty if we're not willing to speak and stand for it? You know, one legislator told a pastor, he said, you want us to pass legislation on things that you're not willing to speak about in the pulpit?
Yeah.
And that's what we do. We're not teaching our people to think and then act biblically. We're giving them devotionals, or we're giving them feel-good sermons, rather than here are the issues that Christians need to address from a biblical perspective.
And two things. One, we must condemn the persecution and absolutely use the imprecatory psalms. Did I just say that?
What?
Did I just say use the imprecatory psalms? Psalm 56, Psalm 94, Psalm 137. Friends, did I just say use the imprecatory psalms on the Generations radio broadcast? Did I say use the Word of God on the Generations radio broadcast? Condemn, absolutely condemn the persecutors and the persecution. But at the same time, encourage those being persecuted to love their enemies, bless them that curse them, and pray for those who despitefully use you. And pray for maximum impact in these churches that are being persecuted. Pray for faith. Pray for courage. Pray that they will continue to press on, and they will continue to disciple the nations despite the persecution that they are receiving. Friends, that's the balanced perspective on persecution. And yes, you should be animated in all of this. We all need to engage the faith and remember those who are in bonds. Remember them in prayer. Remember them in support. Go and visit them if necessary. This, my friends, is the heart of Jesus. And do what you can to stop the persecution. Friends, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. I'd encourage you to be sure that you have a copy of Taking the World for Jesus, a 400-page summary of 2,000 years of the actions, the activities of Jesus Christ in our history, in world history, real history. Get the story in the book Taking the World for Jesus, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Wednesday, January 24th, AD 2018. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. A 7.9 magnitude earthquake in the Gulf of Alaska was registered at 3:31 Tuesday morning, located 174 miles from Kodiak, Alaska, reports KTUU. The U.S. Geological Survey's National Earthquake Information Center said they recorded 24 aftershocks by 6:30 yesterday morning. According to the Secret Service, 43-year-old Brian McHugh of Alexandria, Virginia, was arrested outside the White House yesterday morning near 15th Street and New York Avenue with a loaded gun inside his vehicle, reports WJLA. Democrat Senator Chuck Schumer of New York is taking his $1.6 billion spending boost for Donald Trump's border wall off the table, reports Politico.com. In the now famous cheeseburger summit last Friday with Trump, Schumer allegedly offered a large increase in border wall spending as a condition for a broader deal to help Dreamers. But White House spokesman Hogan Gidley said yesterday that the Schumer offer, quote, never existed. You cannot rescind money you never really offered in the first place, end quote. Pro-life pregnancy resource centers received a boost of support from the U.S. Department of Justice on Tuesday in their challenge of a bizarre California requirement that they promote abortions, reports Life News. The California law, which was co-sponsored by the radical pro-abortion group NARAL, demands pro-life pregnancy centers actually post a notice advertising abortions and abortifacients in 48-size font in up to 11 languages at both the entrance and within the waiting area. In addition, it also must be included on their websites and in every promotional material they publish, with the font size and or color that draws more attention to it than the other words on the page. After homeschooling parents David and Louise Turpin were arrested on January 14th when police had to rescue their 13 severely malnourished children from their home in Paris, California, Golden State homeschoolers are understandably nervous that the legislature will pass new regulations based on the false notion that homeschooling parents are prone to abuse their children, reports the Christian Post. Debbie Schwarzer of the Homeschool Association of California dismissed the idea that private homeschoolers should be required to present their children for an annual inspection by government teachers and a doctor, saying, quote, "It's an outrageous suggestion. One that amounts to suspecting all homeschooling parents of being unfit, of being capable of crimes against their children," end quote. Evangelist Louise Palau has just received devastating medical news. Stay tuned for my Worldview special report immediately following today's newscast for the details. According to the Kansas City Star, the Prosperity Gospel Ministry of Kenneth Copeland paid somewhere between $6 million and $12 million cash last week for a sleek Gulfstream 5 private jet from actor and filmmaker Tyler Perry. But Copeland's need for more cash seems unquenchable, asking his supporters to give another $19.5 million to pay for upgrades to the private jet, the construction of a new hangar, extending the existing runway, and purchasing special maintenance equipment. Amazingly, on the December 29, 2015 television broadcast of Believer's Voice of Victory with Jesse Duplantis, Copeland claimed the jet was essential to his ministry.
The world is in such a shape, we can't get there without this.
That's right.
We've got to have this. The mess that the airlines are in today, I would have to stop at least 75 to 80, more like 90% of what we're doing, because you can't get there from here.
Copeland cited Oral Roberts, the late king of the false prosperity gospel.
Now, Oral used to fly airlines,
right.
But it, even back there then, man, it got to the place where it was agitating his spirit,
sure.
People coming up to him. He
right.
had become famous, and they wanting him to pray for him and
right.
all that. You can't manage that today, this dope-filled world,
right.
And get in a long tube with a bunch of demons. It's deadly. I wanted to make that clear so the devil can't lie to you and say, see there, them preachers spending all that money, just fat cats riding around. No, we're not. We're in business. We're in soul business here.
Right.
We got a dying world around us. Jesse. We got a dying nation around us.
That's right.
And we can't even get there on the
And you can't.
In 2 Timothy 4, 3-4, Paul offered this ominous warning. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And that's the World View in 5 minutes. On this Wednesday, January 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2018, subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview special report. I'm Adam McManus. Last Thursday, Louise Palau, standing in a video with his sons Kevin and Andrew, made the shocking announcement that the beloved world-renowned evangelist was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, reports the Christian Post. Kevin, the president of Louise Palau Ministries, explained that his father became ill as he returned from a trip to the UK last fall. They initially believed he only had a chest cold.
To our surprise, the early report we got just before Christmas was that there was some cancer in one of Dad's lungs. To our shock, just a few days ago, we got the word that it's stage 4 lung cancer.
Luis Palau spoke from his heart.
First thing you do, in my case, is cry. I think, oh, wow, I could be gone in a few months. One silly thought that came to my mind, but it's not silly. I won't be able to pick up the phone and talk to the boys and hear their voice and talk to my wife, yeah. Pat. You know, and you suddenly say, this is sad. I don't feel panic or horror. We know exactly what happens if you're healed, hallelujah, and many people are praying that the Lord would do a miracle. Mm-hmm. It would take literally a miracle. It's all over, they said, and even the lymph nodes.
Palau, at times emotional, shared the scriptures that have kept him encouraged.
One verse that hit me hard, Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious, righteous right arm. And that's a big comfort. Mm-hmm. One of the thoughts the Lord seemed to say to me, hey, I thought you read the Bible and you knew that there comes a time when it's time to go. St. Paul said, the time for my departure is here. Mm-hmm. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the last epistle, the theologians say, he says, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I kept the faith. Now there awaits for me the crown of glory. I know the time for my departure is here. And in Isaiah, your eyes will behold the King in his beauty. And you know, I've preached about heaven a lot. One other thing I'll say, you cry a lot, okay? You cry when you think about your sons, about the ministry, about your friends, about your wife, number one. You know, you think, wow, the time has come, perhaps, when I won't see them.
Andrew Palau, who preaches alongside his father, was direct.
We're urging you, we're begging you, pray for dad and mom. Pray for dad. We're asking for healing. We're not done asking for healing.
To stay up to date on Palau's condition, go to the website palau.org, spelled P-A-L-A-U. You can send Evangelist Palau an email of encouragement at luis.palau@palau.org. This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.